Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Kids are back in school. College football's in swing. I had a nice time flying to Columbus, Ohio. Great atmosphere at Ohio Stadium. To see that many people in one place, it felt normal again. For Oregon fans, it felt joyful again, as I thought Oregon played really well. Anthony Brown Jr. at quarterback, I was impressed how calm he was defensively. Oregon made the plays it had to make at the end of the game to finish. And Mario Cristobal had talked about finishing for the entire week. He joins us now. You had to be really pleased with how you guys finished.
We were certainly a lot of progress in that aspect. And we were able to get in there and slug it out against a very talented team in a tough place. Awesome place, by the way, first-class program organization. And league talent everywhere, great coaching staff. So, yeah, it was that was good to see that part became part of the game reality, finishing the right way.
What was the message to your front seven on defense and your offensive line as they prepared to play against a team that is very physical?
Well, it was just that. You know, we just – here at Oregon, we just don't stop. We just keep coming. You know, you play teams like that. And how we train every day, we just don't change it. You know, I mean, on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it's block destruction and 7-on-7 inside run before we go to team run and play action. I mean, almost play half a game right there before halfway through practice. So for us, that's part of it. But knowing that, you know, those collisions probably early on are going to feel a little bit different because the body types are so much bigger, longer, right? Real explosive that you run into, but that technique and toughness and resiliency and execution, we're going to be at a premium in that we just don't stop. We're going to make a commitment and a decision to play harder for longer and more disciplined for longer, and we're just going to keep coming. And that's what our guys did.
Anthony Brown was terrific, especially when he started running the ball. And man, when he put his head down and trucked a Ohio State defensive back for a first down, that was an emotional play. What did you like about Anthony Brown's performance?
Oh, it's one of my favorite plays ever right there. Just, you know, like CJ's three-yard run on that short yards play where, you know, he does a great job just running through somebody. Those plays are like body blows in boxing, you know. They change the temperament of everything and everyone. It's like being a thermostat. You change the temperature of the whole place and the confidence in your guys grow. But at Anthony Brown's poise, resiliency, his demeanor, ability to execute in that environment, against that type of talent and scheme was outstanding. Anthony Brown just keeps, he was a good player before he got here. And I think this system and his more importantly, his commitment to the system and his commitment to the culture, he just keeps elevating, himself and those around him in the 2 weeks of the season. And we think his best football is ahead of him.
I got to point out, you know, DJ Johnson, a tight end, also turned pass rusher for this game. It was really inspiring to see a guy go both ways.
Yeah, well, we're out of bodies. I mean, we're about to put you in the game with another couple guys.
Don't do that. You don't want to do that. Go ahead.
You know, really proud of DJ, man. He just relentless worker. And, you know, it's kind of hard in practice. I mean, it's easy to talk two-way player if you're as talented as Bo Jackson, right? But yeah, this was real. Like, we had to take this guy, and on Tuesday, hey, got to go, you know, blow a horn when it's time to go third down and bring DJ over, and he'd go over there and coaches would get with him and work, you know, some pass rush stuff and understand the calls, getting the signals, get lined up, and then back over here, back to the tight end stuff. And so his presence was felt as a defensive end, as a pass catcher on that third down, but just as importantly, as a blocker in the run game, man. He was a sledgehammer. He really was. He was physical. He was relentless. He ran his feet through contact. He made dents in the defense against an excellent defense. So really proud of DJ. Man, what a game for him.
Mario Cristobal with us, Oregon coach. You know, you, as the time expired, I watched you leave the sideline. You took your headset off. You go across the field to shake Ryan Day's hand. And, you know, it wasn't until later, I think, that you got real emotional and started pumping your fists. But what's going on for you at the end of the game there mentally for you as you start to walk onto the field?
Man, so much. It's like if you hit, you know, the old VHS, like beta machines, when you're watching a movie, hit fast forward and just, it's like a blur.
Yeah.
So everything from the game to potential injuries to things that we can do better to even our fans that were there at the game. I mean, so much, you know. But, like, the next step, like quickly, you know, like what is next? Like what, you know, where do we go from here? But our players were so happy. So I had to stop and really understand the importance of letting them enjoy a moment like that.
Right.
And take part in it with them and showing gratitude for their effort, showing gratitude for their toughness, because their toughness, I don't know how many players, how many individuals would be willing to do what they did with the amount of injuries that we had, and find a way to get it done with even more injuries occurring while we were there. And then also, I thought it was especially important to go find my high school coach, Dennis Lavelle, I played at Columbus High School. Coach Mirabal and I played together at Columbus for Coach Lavelle down in Miami. And he was at the game, first game he ever went to. I mean, the guy looks like Sensei Kreese from Cobra Kai. He's tough as nails. He's insanely demanding, just all about physicality, all about discipline and toughness. And we coach because of him. Like, he's the reason why we are football coaches and the impact he had on our lives. I mean, I was so happy he was there to see it. So, but all the focus was on the players, man, making sure that they took in the fact that the type of work and the regimen and the system that we have, the blueprint, is validated by moments like this. So on to the next one.
Yeah, you know, you probably don't realize it, or maybe you do, but you're probably giving that experience to some of the guys on your team that may grow up someday and become a coach and look back and see a 80-year-old Mario Cristobal on the sideline and go, that guy did it for me, like, you know, as they look at the experience that you're giving them. I don't know if you know this, but I picked you guys to win the game, and people laughed at me. They called me stupid. They said I'm crazy. I'm a homer. After the first quarter, though, I looked up and I said, I feel really good about this. Was there a point in the game for you where you looked up and went, physically, we're okay in this game?
Well, you know, I always like to line up right where the ball is and see which way the line of scrimmage is moving. Because that, man, that 999,000 times will usually dictate which way the game goes. And I really liked what we saw in the first few plays.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing the continued confidence and energy that was just circulating on our sideline with our players. They had a great look in their eye. They had an edge to them. I thought the plan going out there, credit to our sports science team, our directors of operations that got with so many NFL and college teams that travel west to east and play games, you know, and try to find what's the best way to travel? What's the best time to eat, sleep? What do you do on the plane? What type of plane do you get? Do you get a plane where you lay down? Do you get a plane where you stay up and turn the lights on? All those things we just created a process and an off-season study that we felt gave us a distinct advantage. And now we're just going to have to play with an edge and find a way to play harder for longer and more disciplined for longer. And the players took it over, man. All the credit to them.
Yeah, you guys, you went a little early, didn't you? You flew out Thursday night.
We did. We flew out actually Thursday right at noon.
Okay.
You know, on the plane, we kept them active and up. did not turn off the lights, did not let them sleep, moved them around on the plane, landed, went over to the stadium so they could look at it so it wouldn't just, I don't know, maybe catch them. So it wouldn't be a distraction on game day. You know, just yeah. Plus, we wanted to keep them up a little bit longer before we went to dinner so that we can get to sleep, get a good night's sleep on Thursday, and wake up Friday and had our fast Friday practice, and it was incredible.
You get the win, and now it places emphasis on everything that happens after it. You probably aren't going to have a hard time, you know, giving that message to the guys, but when did you first talk about, hey, this is great, but now we have to take care of business? It's Stony Brook, and then it's 1-0 this week and 1-0 next week. When did you start talking about that with the team?
You know, in the locker room right after, and then on the plane, you know, just getting together with certain guys and, you know, chopping it up a little bit. I mean, it's a reality. You know, there is so early in the season, John, it's so early to be even thinking about anything else except practice the next day, right? It's just, there's a lot of stuff to clean up, a lot of stuff to improve upon. College football is the wildest sport there is. So we're just grounded, man. We're grounded, and if we feel something is not grounded, we have a very special way of getting it grounded in a hurry. So that's just the way that we do things. We believe in it. It's a very regimented process, and we believe it works, and so we got to keep rolling with it.
You never want to play games without your best players, but you had some of your best players not on the field. Is it more special, or does it emphasize the message that you have about depth and stepping up in your own roster?
Well, and I think not only the guys that stepped up and played, but the supporting cast and everyone else around them elevating their game as well was just as critical. I mean, you see some real deal maniacal effort from guys that may have made up for a guy that was blocked and couldn't get off and it's about to split us, you know, or a guy in coverage just exhausting himself to the point of getting a fingertip on the ball, or a guy staying on a block and running his feet for just one more step to spring a big run. So it showed up in all parts of the field. So all those things, they validate the work, they validate the regimen and why we do things a certain way. But we just got to keep doing things a certain way. We got to not only what to do, but how to do it exactly, technically, fundamentally, understanding leverage, understanding situational football, spacing, you name it. Well, there's a lot of stuff to work on, and I think our guys saw it on film yesterday, and let's call it what it is. If it isn't good enough in defeat, it shouldn't be good enough in victory. So we got to highlight those things, bring it out to the practice field and get them better.
We didn't get a chance to see your kids celebrate with you. After you see them after the game or when you get home, what kind of crystal ball dog pile was that?
Oh, that was it's always intense with those two. You know, they're just – I mean, and one's learning jiu-jitsu, so he understands arm bars and all that. So it gets pretty intense. But no, those two knuckleheads, man, they're awesome. They took in every minute of it. I know they were jumping up and down, going crazy, as my wife told me. So glad they could take it in, even though they were far away. I'm used to seeing them at the stadium. Glad they could take it in.
Your coordinators, Joe Moorhead, I thought he called a really good game. Loved the pass game, the layered pass patterns. They gave Ohio State all kinds of problems. And then Tim DeRuiter on defense, you know, playing with some young guys in some key positions, looked like he kept it pretty simple. How pleased were you with the offensive defensive plans?
Well, I think the plans were executed really well. I think we kept them off balance. You know, our offense kept them off balance, and you know, we established a ground game early. I think we kept them off balance with the play-action pass game, the RPO game. I thought some of the sets and formations that we use also ended up giving them some player conflicts. You know, if you're 5, 6, 7-man RPOs, right, it's a different player every time, depending on what you're running. But I thought all that stuff gave us some schematical advantages and some angles and leverage. And I thought defensively, with as many guys as were banged up, that especially in the first half, we played the run game really well. We gave them some big plays, and we got caught in tempo a couple times, which we're fixing. We will fix that. But to hold a team like that to 28 points, force those turnovers, and get put on the field 3 times at the end of the game and find a way to come up with 3 stops, 28 points – I know there's some yards given up, but at the end of the day, it's about the points. And I thought both those guys did a great job.
Yeah, and I think, and I look at week one and the way, you know, Fresno State tested you guys, and they, you know, and I look at the end of that game, and I like that Ohio State was testing you guys, and you passed those tests. You know, even though you give up yards, I just like that you guys finished that way and got that little test, because we know in Pac-12 play, you're going to run into games that you got to close out.
There's no doubt about it. And they are ultra talented, and they are coached really, really well. You know, there's plays in that game that send this thing going back and forth. And, you know, they, again, it's elite talent. I mean, everyone on that field over there, not everyone, but there's a significant amount of true five-star talent that plays like a five-star player, and they're coached well. So it was a tremendous challenge and a great accomplishment. And I think our guys learned a lot about themselves, because in football, you know, I said it before, is football, it splits you open, man. It lets the world know what you are, right? You get tested, you get put up against a wall, and it's gonna reveal exactly what type of DNA you have. And I think our DNA showed, man. I think it showed strong. And I think that now we have an opportunity to make that a consistent thing. And we have to, because, like Jimmy Johnson used to tell us, man, you're going to get better, or you're going to get worse. You ain't going to stay the same. It doesn't exist. It doesn't happen. So we got to go get better.
That 77-yard TD run by C.J. Verdell, that hole was just so big. I probably get 12 yards myself if I'm running there. He gets 77. Like, when you see that as an former offensive lineman, you see your offensive line just blow open a hole like that, what do you think?
I think you get 2.5 yards is what I think.
you haven't watched me run. Come on.
I think the set and the motion helped create some eyewash, and I think the fits on the double team on the down men, the climb to the second level was excellent. It was perfectly executed, and it was great to see CJ just turn it on like that, man. He went. And, that's a strong message. That doesn't happen very often. And that type of yardage in a game like that, you know, I know they've, again, they're a great defense. We had a really, really good day, and we're proud of our guys. And let's go get better, man. Let's go just keep elevating and building on this momentum.
All right, Mario Cristobal, I appreciate you joining us. I know a lot of Oregon fans love to hear your voice and are as enthusiastic as you and your players are after that win. So thanks for making time for us.
Hey, what about the Oregon fans at the game? How awesome were they? Yeah. Are you kidding me? I mean, they were, like, insane. Like, I was shocked walking out there. I was expecting just opposite colors, and I walk out there and, like, all right, well, let's roll, you know. And so it was great to have them out there, man. But I appreciate you having me on the show, John.
Yeah. Have a great one, bro. You know what else? There was a lot of Ohio State fans after the game that were walking by your buses and were yelling, hey, congratulations, great win. I just think there's a lot to learn from that. Programs that have been there, you know, saying, look, hey, you know, they gave you credit after that one.
They did. I mean, that's a first-class operation, a big-time environment. I mean, can't say enough good things about it. Hospitality, the setup, everything. I mean, they really, they're all about in just the integrity of football, and we had a great experience.
All right. Mario Cristobal, thank you. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Go Ducks.
There he is. Love that. Would have liked to seen the dog pile of his kids in the living room as they were watching C.J. Verdell go 77 yards for a touchdown. He was not supposed to be on the show today, by the way, and he texted me in hour number one. We had texted over the weekend. He texted me in hour number one and said, I want to come on at 1:30. So I appreciate him making time. Jonathan Smith on Wednesday's show for Beaver fans who want to hear the Oregon State coach. But, man, I want your reaction to that interview. 503-417-7575. Tell me what you heard. Take some phone calls. TJ's in Tigard in the wake of Mario Cristobal's interview. TJ, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it was, if you look back on when Cristobal came in, he's had the same message the whole time, is, you know, getting on edge, staying on edge, and preaches all about the process and the mentality. And over the first couple of years, you're like, that's awesome. It sounds good in theory, but, you know, you have questionable play callers for the first couple of years, and then the season that could have been with Herbert last year. But then you see this game and the way it took place and all of his process and preaching of mentality and toughness actually produce results. And then just listening to the interview, it's like you can kind of hear his urgency with this season of, like, every time he was talking about something to you, he was like, we just got to stay on edge. We just got to stay on edge. And I think you can hear the urgency in his voice that is like, this is the year that we can actually make it to the playoff. This is the year that, you know, now that you know you went into the horseshoe and beat Ohio State, that you really have instilled the confidence in the team, and not only that, in the fans, that all of his process, all of his mentality, all of his, you know, language is actually within grasp. So I think it's really cool to hear in his voice. So
yeah, and look, and people talk about how you motivate people, other people, all the time. Like, if you can figure out the secret to motivating other people, you can lead. Mario Cristobal, I felt like, needed...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.